Have you given a thought? Well, we're heading to Matthew chapter 16, by the way. How do we discern the times? Matthew chapter 16, Jesus was in a conversation with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they more or less had just come to a point that they had rejected that Jesus is the Son of God. They had rejected that He is the Savior. He had done so much by this point. We're far enough into the Gospels that they had not only heard, but they've seen many of the miracles that were taking place. We're seeing lives that are being changed. But more than that, there's a great number of Old Testament prophecies that Jesus has been fulfilling all throughout His life. Do you know there were over 300 prophecies that Jesus had fulfilled in His lifetime? And about 32 prophecies were fulfilled on the day of His death on the cross. Isn't that astounding? To say all of this was just circumstantial evidence, to say that all this just happened, the odds that just the fact that He fulfilled 8 prophecies of the Old Testament is astronomical, that He was able to do so perfectly. And that's just 8 of them. We haven't even touched the rest of them. And so the evidence was great. And so when Jesus replied to them, He makes a comment of that, well, you can discern the weather. You watch the sky and you know what the weather's going to do. I always heard my grandma had a saying, and I forget, I may butcher it, but it goes something like, is it red morning, sailors take warning, or is it the other way around? Well, we're going to read it here in the Scripture. And it was an old sailor's tale that they would use to kind of predict what the weather was going to do. And one time I heard my grandma say, I said, Grandma, do you know that Scripture? And she goes, oh, no, that's just an old saying. I go, no, it's Scripture. And so I showed her there in the book of Matthew that this is something they even used in the biblical times. They were able to watch the weather. You ever been around farmers and those that cultivate, work in the ground on a regular basis? They're watching the weather all the time. Why? Because their livelihood relies a great deal upon what the weather does and does not do. And so these are agricultural people, and so they could relate to and they knew how to read what nature was going to do based upon what they were seeing, the signs that they were seeing. Well, the reason that we're in this text, that we're at this point, many have been asking, and I noticed that there's just a bunch of them that are on YouTube and things that people are asking, is COVID-19 a sign of the end times? Well, you know, when we look at this, number one, I'm glad that you're intrigued. I'm glad that you're interested. Now, I'm going to take a long trip around answering this because I don't feel like one particular thing sets the standard by which this is what's happening. But yet, I think God's timing is His timing no matter what's going on here. Amen? We are given signs that will be coming to the last days. Now, something I want to preface with this and that you understand is that the second coming of Christ and the rapture are two different things. And often when people are asking the question, well, is this a sign of Him coming? Many times they're referring to the second coming, not the rapture. The rapture and the second coming are two different events. In the rapture, the Lord Jesus comes for His believers, taking His church home, His bride, and He never touches upon the earth. But they all go to meet Him in the air. And we're going to read that here in just a minute in Thessalonians. The second coming, He actually comes to the earth. He stands upon the Mount of Olives and it melts under His feet. And He splits the mountain in half. And we see all this in Old Testament prophecy. But then also we see a lot of those signs that are leading up to the second coming we see in Matthew 24 and 25. And so many of those signs that people get all excited about, then they go, oh, that means He's coming. But here's the reality. We're on the threshold of the Lord's return in the rapture at any moment. Because there is no signs that preface his coming. The rapture comes suddenly. Now, the world would be caught off guard, is what the scripture says. But the Bible tells us as believers, don't be caught off guard. It's not to say that you won't, but the scripture tells us to stay awake, to be sober. That means self-controlled, focused. What's going on? That his return can be at any moment. That's why these songs are so exciting, because we know as God's people, he's on his way. He's on his way. So just kind of setting the stage with this is that let's all come to an agreement that if things are going great, everything is fine, God's coming back. Jesus is coming back. I'll be more pointed. Jesus is coming back. If things are bad, things are scary, things are falling apart, we're in fear for our life and our safety. Guess what? Jesus is coming back. And so when I was hearing the questions, is this one of those end time signs? We've already got all kinds of evidence that Jesus is on his way. We already have a multitude of signs that are pointing to that we are living in the last days, beside the fact the Lord Jesus told us that we are. The disciples went to the grave looking for his return, knowing that we are living in the last days. That's when they wrote the scriptures. That's when they wrote these letters to the churches, to be aware that you are living in the last days. Folks, we understand by the theology of scripture is that the church age is the age of grace. God has, if you will, as a parallel, has opened the door of the ark. Everything is loaded on the ark, and Noah and his family sits for 7 days waiting for the flood. But not until after those days were done did God actually close the door of the ark. Yeah, I know, you watch the cartoons, the elephant pulled it closed. The elephant didn't do it. God closed the door on the ark, closed them up in the ark, and then judgment came. Folks, we are now in that 7-day grace period. And I say 7 days. I'm saying that symbolically. We are in a time of grace. The church age is now an opportunity that not only Israel, but the Gentiles are now given an opportunity to come to the Lord Jesus and to find salvation, to escape the time of judgment. And there have been signs that have been showing and evident to all of those things that are leading to the fact that we are now living in the last days. And so when we look in this in Matthew chapter 16, some questions were asked, but yet Jesus responds to them. Now Matthew 16 verses 1 through 4, let's read that text together. Then the Pharisees and the Sadducees came and testing him asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, "When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, if you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times, a wicked and adulterous generation seek after a sign, and no sign shall be given to it, except the sign of the prophet Jonah." And he left them and departed. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you and humbly bow before you in search of your word. Lord, we just pray that you'd help us to be discerners of the times. Help us with your spirit to guide us into your word and the understanding of the days and times that we live in, but more than that, the people that we should be in light of the times that we live in. Lord, would you guide us and direct us that we may understand, but more than that, give us the courage to apply your words to our lives. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, we look at how that Jesus is responding, and he's pointing out is that you're able to discern the physical things, but yet spiritual discernment is a much different reality, isn't it? This is something that we, the physical things that we know, we learn them in and through experiences in life. Being able to experience the things that we live through gives us the understanding of how things work on the earth. But yet the spiritual discernment comes from God Himself. Only He can open these things or open our mind to these understandings, and it is by a process of digesting God's Word. And so at this point, these learned men were coming, and they were looking to test Him. Now, the sad thing is that people will often look at this and say, well, it's bad to ask God questions. That's taking this out of context. God welcomes us to come. In fact, even in Scripture, He says, come and let us reason together in Isaiah. Though your sins may be as scarlet, they can be made white as snow. Why? He wants you to come with the conviction that you have, the questions that you have. He is an answering God. He's a clarifying God. He reveals the truth so that we might understand and comprehend. They were not coming to Jesus to get the truth. They were coming to Jesus to test Him, and this is a negative thing. They were wanting to get Him to say just the right thing so that they can catch Him in that aha moment, gotcha. And then they could more or less just have Him accused, charged, and killed was their goal. And so when they come, they weren't looking for the truth, were they? Because that's what Jesus is telling them. The truth is all around them. The evidence and the signs are all around them. They have hundreds of years of prophecy that have been laid out in the Old Testament, and they ignored all of that. In fact, they even had the modern day. This is what is just so exciting, is that God had been giving signs for so long of His arrival as the Savior, as the Messiah to come, and yet He was still giving signs in the modern day by the miracles that He was performing right in front of them. And they ignored them. They ignored Him. How often do you talk with folks and they say, you know, I would believe Jesus, but the facts is just not there. And you want to fall over and pass out. It's like, how can you ignore? How can you not acknowledge just the fact that the body is cut and injured and then watching the body repair itself? Oh, that's evolution. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. The complexity. That's why doctors are so challenged in their field and find such a fascination to work with the human body. It's magnificent of what it can do. And trying to understand the complexities. And yet, Jesus just dragged a bunch of mud together, molded us, and breathed into us. And wow. Why? Because creation speaks of His handiwork, points us to Him. When we look at all the realities that the Pharisees and Sadducees did not come in faith, that was the problem. They did not come in faith. They were not willing to see the signs. They were not willing to accept the signs that were already there. But they wanted to say that we want you to do this sign. They wanted to set the standard, if you will. The flesh cannot experience what only God can open our eyes to understand. Only God can reveal that to us. Why was this not enough? Why was this not enough? Now, when they came, they realized that they wanted to trap Him. They realized if they could find just the right argument, if they could find just the right thing to trip Him up, that they could discredit Him once and for all. Do you notice that even throughout the Scriptures, there were many miracles that Jesus had done, and they couldn't discredit Him. They couldn't speak to it. The evidence is right there in front of them, but they didn't want to accept it. It kind of makes me think even back into the Exodus. Do you remember when the plagues were coming, and then Pharaoh would call his men in, and wizards and different things, and they would mimic what Moses was doing, but then when they got to the lice, they come in and said, this is the finger of God. We can't do that. Oh, now we're starting to set distinctives. That's really God. It's really the God of Israel that's doing these things. And then later, we begin to see that how that the Egyptians were suffering under plagues, but yet all of the Hebrew people and all of their cattle and all of their livestock and all their children were untouched by the plagues. Oh, wow. Wow, that's even more evidence that this is God. You know, so often that we see things that are going on, and I want you to know that I am not the type of pastor that's going to grab the newspaper or grab articles offline and begin preaching all that, oh, this fits here, this fits here. The reason I hesitate in that is because I've seen years of it. I've seen years of it. There's so often that you can pick up books that were printed in the 70s and in the early 80s, and they have attempted to do that, and it's all come and gone, and it wasn't. But here's something that I come to understand. God doesn't lurk around in the shadows, and we really never know what he's about. Jesus told the disciples, I've called you friends. Servants don't know what their masters are doing, but I have revealed all that I'm about to do and going to do. And I've called you friends. Folks, it wasn't just the disciples, but he's given us his word to explain to us, believers, his friends, what he is doing. And that's why we're being stirred up today, is because we see our world and our society in desperate need, and we want to be a part of the answer of what God is wanting to do. Amen? And so therefore, we know that he's working. We're watching the evidence. I don't always know everything by every timetable, but yet I know when things are stirring, when God wants us to move, and he wants us to be in prayer, and he wants us to draw back and be renewed in our own revival so that we might be restored and strengthened for the battle that lay ahead. Whatever it is, God makes his people aware of what he so desires. It's not all shrouded in mystery, because some things simply do not have an answer right now. And faith gives us the ability to act upon the information we do have and not get lost in the information that we do not have. Amen? Now there's a delicate balance in that. I'm not going to tell you that I have that perfectly, but there are times and places that we have to lay things aside and say, God, I don't understand this. Sometimes it can even be frustrating at times to say, I don't know why you're allowing this, but yet you've commanded me to do and be and carry on from here. Lord, help me to be faithful and do exactly what I do know that I'm supposed to be doing. They were ignoring the evidence. They rejected. They wanted to manipulate Christ to be a God that they wanted. They wanted him to be the God that would do what they desired to do. They wanted him to work in the way that they felt was sufficient. But the reality is that Jesus was prophesied by the Old Testament. He was fulfilling prophecy that they had forgotten. He come as a perfect, holy, and righteous God that he is, and only he is God. Amen? We cannot manipulate God to do or be what we so desire. And so, therefore, we yield to him. We surrender to him. And because of that, we are the servant. We are the follower. So, in number two, many times people are looking on the outside when God's working on the inside. And this was part of the problem, I think, was with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, that they were so busy on being focused on what they were doing on the outside, they ignored the heart matters. In fact, Jesus pointed this out in Scripture to them many times. Many times is that they wanted to appear to be good on the outside, but they weren't taking care of their own personal holiness. And so often I want us to think about this, is that when we're looking at things, we can tend to look at what God's doing on the outside, but in the reality, he wants to be working on each and every one of us personally. Amen? Isn't it tempting to sit and the pastor hits a topic and you're thinking, and you just kind of gradually in your mind thinking, oh, I hope so-and-so's listening over there. Yeah, I've grown up in church. I've heard it, said it. And we, it is our human nature of, well, I hope someone's listening. When in reality, it's very possible that God wants you to be listening. Amen? It's so easy to see it in everybody else, isn't it? Oh, I just don't see it in me. Oh, I look great. Yeah, not so much, right? When people are looking on the outside, God is actually working on the inside. Often we miss the communication that God is bringing to our hearts because we're absorbed in the events around us. Isn't it possible that as we've talked in the past in many of the messages that we sometimes have to just shut off the news, we have to shut off the media, and we have to get someplace and we get quiet so that God can speak to our hearts. We've got to just put our minds at ease and turn them off for just a moment, which I still haven't found that light switch on my brain. It's 100 mile an hour all the time, and then I hit the brick wall and I rest for a few hours and go back to it again. But yet, we've got to discipline ourselves as a disciple of Christ to find that quiet place. Commercial. We got some more daily breads that are available. Good place to just get quiet. Maybe you're in the truck and you got a 5-minute break. Break that thing out. You can get this on an app on your phone as well. They don't only give you the current one, but they have archives that you can go back in. And it's a magnificent thing to share. Being in the Word. By the way, if you're in our Sunday school classes, we got the Sunday school books that are here. Take them home. You've got Bible studies to do at home. We have and are giving you every opportunity that we can to get quiet before the Lord and allow Him to work outside, but yet also allow Him to work on the inside. These men so desperately needed faith in the Lord Jesus. They so desperately needed to set aside their pride and their arrogance and to set aside their learning for just a moment and allow the great teacher to teach them about life, about salvation, about how to be made whole once again. Well, there was a Gentile lady that learned just that. I'm just going to refer to it. If you want to look at it, Matthew 15, verse 25 through 28, I'm not going to read it, but there was a lady that came. She had a young daughter that needed to be healed. And as she came to him, he makes a comment, is that, should I cast the food of my children to the dogs? Now, I want you to think about something in this. Sometimes we cringe and say, oh, that's so cruel to call her a dog. But yet the Jews viewed the Gentiles in a very degrading way. It was prejudice at its worst. They looked down upon the Jews, and so she knew the attitude of the Jews had toward them, but yet she went to Jesus, a Jew, anyway. Why? Because she saw the evidence. She knew who Jesus was. Pharisees and them, they had rejected who he was, but she embraced who he was, and she reveals it in her comment, is that, yet, Father, doesn't the dogs even feed from the crumbs from the master's table? She's saying, I don't need a lot. I'm just asking for a little. Oh, isn't that great? Isn't it great in salvation when we come to the realization that all we need is a little bit of God and we think that we need to know everything about God when in reality you can't? But yet all we have to realize is I just need a little bit of Him that I might understand and that I would surrender and just give my life to Him and let Him own me. Well, guess what? This lady's little act of faith became a monumental moment in the ministry of Christ. And He points her out. Oh, what great faith. And her daughter was healed too. Why? This lady saw the exact same thing the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees had seen. She's seen the same thing. What is it? She approached it through faith. She humbled herself before the Father and the Creator, and He guided her right where she needed to be. Folks, is God doing a work in you today? In 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 through 7, it says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Do you believe that? We need to know that as God's children, that He cares for you. Because He cares for us, we know that He's coming for us. Amen? My last point. How are we to discern, to be discerners of our day? As I had led with the comment of opening, we agree that if things are well and everything's going fine, Jesus is coming back. If everything is bad and falling apart, we are concerned about our life, our safety, our health, God is sending His Son Jesus to get us. Amen? God wants us to know and remember that He loves us, and one day He's going to come to take us home to be in heaven with Him. You know, in the song that we sang in the very last part, there was a phrase that caught my eye, or caught my ear, I should say. And it says that all those that said He's dead and gone, and yet He's coming again. What's going to be the reaction? This is a distinction that we understand, is that believers are excited about His return, but the lost are dreading it. Amen? They're fearful of it. They want to avoid it. They want to escape it. And they think by their own cunning and skill that they can avoid it, but yet the Scripture says there is no avoiding the judgment of God. Amen? There's only one, and His name is Jesus. Amen? He's the only one that can deliver us from that judgment. But look at John chapter 14, verses 1 through 3. Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." What does He say? "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to Myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Can I ask you a question today? Is Jesus coming back for you? There was a lot of yeses, and I am excited about that. So many people I talk to say, you're just arrogant to say that you know that Jesus is coming for you. But yet, in 1 John chapter 2, "These things have been written so that you might know." Actually, it's chapter 5. "These things have been written so that you might know that you have eternal life." What things? Go through 1 John. He describes all the evidences, all the signs of being a believer in Christ Jesus. You can know. You can know today that you have a home in heaven. You can know today that Jesus is coming back for you. You can know by trusting in the Lord Jesus as your Savior, placing your faith upon Him, and in Him alone, He can give you eternal life. Thirdly, now I'm going in, actually it's my second one. I'm in point three, second point. There are signs of the second coming, but there are no signs of the rapture. As I had prefaced at the very beginning, I wanted us to realize that all throughout time, we have been given signs throughout Scripture that God fulfills and proves to be true. All of this is setting the stage so that we live in a day today. We have the ability to see in Scripture the hindsight of all that He has done, and He is faithful and He's true. Amen? Jesus is always on time, and He's always consistent. Amen? Jesus' promises are always true, and all that He says that He will do, He has done and He will do. Amen? All right, so therefore, when we look at the book of Revelation, and so many people look at it with total mystery and awestruck to say, can we really understand this? Yes, because it was written by John on the Isle of Patmos. As he was writing, being guided by the Spirit of God, he saw the glorified Christ as he walked among the churches, and he wrote the seven churches of Asia, guiding them to prepare for the last days, and then he began to write events that no one has ever seen that is yet to come. He wrote it in the very same way that was God-breathed, God-directed, God-given, the very same way that the rest of the Scripture has been written and has been proven true over and over and over and over in Scripture and the experiences of life. It's all the same. It's given by God Himself. And so therefore, as we are looking at the signs of today, they're no different than the signs that we've been seeing all along. So, in the question, is COVID-19 a sign of the times? Well, when you look at Scripture, in the last half of the tribulation period is split in 2 3.5-year segments. The first of the tribulation, the second 3.5 is the Great Tribulation. Daniel lays this time frame out in the book of Daniel, and he describes it as the 7 weeks. Now, the entire tribulation period is described as that final week. Now, it's 7 years, but prophetically it's spoken of as that final week. The 6 weeks have already passed, but we're waiting to see God to fulfill that final week, which is the tribulation period. And there are signs that will lead up to that, the returning of the Lord Jesus. But this is what I think that we need to be much more concerned about, is the rapture of the church. There's no signs that are signifying when that's going to come, because even the disciples went to the grave waiting for His arrival. Now, many would say that, well, then they must have been wrong. Oh, no, they weren't wrong. They weren't wrong, because the truth still stands just as true today as it was the day that the Lord Jesus spoke it. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you may be also. And I'm going to come and I'm going to receive you to myself. Isn't that exciting? You didn't have to book your flight with Pan America or Southwest. I don't fly very much. Can you tell? Frontier. Is Pan America even still around? Oh my goodness, that's horrible. I'm a little bit out of touch, aren't I? We don't have to book with a company that goes bankrupt, amen? Jesus is going to get there. And thank the Lord, because I can't remember Him, but Lord Jesus remembers us, amen? The rapture, I think, should be the question of, Lord, when are you going to come in the rapture? But here's the concern that leaves me, and I know it leaves with you. There are many that are still asking. I think they need to hear about the rapture too. Now, sometimes people say that, well, why would you preach the rapture to those that are lost? To let them know that they're living on limited time. Now, I believe that in Scripture we see that there will be some that will be saved after the rapture. Now, there are some that will believe that after the rapture is done, the Lord takes the church, the Holy Spirit goes with it, and that, okay, now nobody can be saved because the Holy Spirit isn't there. Now, personally, in Scripture, I believe that after the rapture, people will still be saved. We see that in Revelation. We see them, the martyrs that are surrounding the throne of God and the martyrs that are under the throne of God. Well, who are these all dressed in white? And the angel says, John, these are those that have come out of the tribulation. They have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and such and so forth. And so I believe that that salvation will still come through Jesus, but yet they will believe and exercise faith as they did in the Old Testament. They're still going to be trusting in the Lord Jesus. But guess what? They're not going to have the church around them. They're not going to have the believers that they know at this moment around them testifying. But they're going to have to watch the signs and determine this is God. Many say, well, how will they know? The Scripture says that the heavens in the tribulation will open and they'll flee from He who sits upon the throne. Because they know who He is. And they know that they are accountable to Him. Because they run. It's a dark time that they need to know about. And it's a fearful thing to fall under the judgment of God. And they need to know these things. But folks, I want to encourage you, much the same as this, the Sadducees and the Pharisees. They got so caught up in all the signs that they neglected to allow God to work in their hearts. This is the message that we need to encourage them in. Yes, COVID-19 is something that's very concerning, but yet it's not the only one. This is just one, because we see in the book of Revelation at the last half of the tribulation that pestilence and death and sickness will come. But when it comes, it will wipe out 1/3 of the population of the entire world. So we are getting a taste of what is possible. Because for years people have discredited the Bible and say that there's no way that can happen. But yet now today we look and we realize, yes, it can. And my friend, according to God's Word, it will happen. So what do we do? 1 Thessalonians 4:15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. That phrase caught up together is where we get the word translated in Latin, rapture. You're not going to find rapture in your English Bible, but the phrase caught up. And it happens in other places in Scripture, but I lack the time to show all those to you. So what are we to do? 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 4 through 8. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. So our response today is that we live in the light, meaning we live in tune with the Spirit of God, so that we can understand and perceive what is our purpose and what is our rightly things to be doing, and how that we might reach those around us. We're looking for His coming. We're waiting for His coming. That's where He says, do not be asleep, but be awake. Be aware of what God is doing. And don't be those that are in night, walking in the night. What's He talking about? He's talking about the spiritual night, walking in sin in the world. He says, don't be surprised. Don't be spiritually asleep, but be awake and be sober and be ready. Is COVID-19 a part of these signs? Folks, I think that we are living in a lost and dying world. We're seeing the consequences of sin, and it keeps increasing, doesn't it? Now we're seeing the concern of safety in our communities as many people are trying to protest peacefully, but yet we've always got some that will come in and instigate. Folks, we're being swayed in so many directions. God is using this to draw us closer to Himself. That's why He tells us in Hebrews, as you see, so much more the day approaching. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. And He's just simply talking about, don't neglect the things of God. And it's even more important as we get closer to the day. Folks, we are getting closer, amen? The evidence is there. The evidence is before us.